She's just like gutting and scaling, descaling a fish and handing it to these children.
You're like, this car really does have everything. It has a whole like fresh market in it. Where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that today we hereby conduct this meeting of the very first Debs fan club.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Bethany.
I like it.
I was trying to do a play on Taylor Swift's little word game that she has. Full transparency, we're recording on Monday, so far we have hereby conduct in this, and I think it's gonna be something like hereby conduct this meeting of, you know, the tortured Boas department, but we don't know exactly what it's gonna say yet. But I wanted us to have a Debs fan club meeting because we are Debs fans, fangirls. But yeah, Michael-Ann, how are you today? That was a long-winded explanation to our tagline.
I'm good, but I have to say something about the Taylor Swift thing. If all this is like, I hereby conduct the first meeting of the Tortured Poets Department, yeah. And it's like just like, it's just like, here's the CD like that we all know is coming on Friday. I'll be like, wait, what? Like, it has to be something like, better,
oh,
right?
That's it. I think that's just going to be it. And the fun of it is like people going through the songs and finding the word. You know what I mean? Like, I could be wrong, though. But yeah,
that.
I think it would be more fun if it's like actually a cool thing. A cool sentence that we're coming, like an announcement of some sort. Or basically, Michael-Ann just always wants reputation, y'all.
I'm like, if it's not reputation, do not give it to me.
Don't even give it to me. Don't even tempt me with anything, Taylor. Stop with dropping hints if the hints aren't for goddamn reputation, is basically how Michael-Ann lives her life, which I understand. But yeah, at first I thought it was going to be something like cooler. And then the second word came out yesterday, I was like, oh, it's going to be like that. But like, it's fine. I'm okay with it. Like, it's still fun that like we're throwing it back to like searching, you know, the lyrics for hidden clues and whatever. So I think it's kind of fun. It's a good throwback. But I do wish that, again, it's only Monday. Like, it could be Tuesday when y'all are listening to this. It could be that it is revealing something cooler. So we'll see. We might be biting our words here when it does come out. But I'm putting my money on it's not going to be something cool.
Damn. You know what? You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I'm getting all excited for no reason.
We'll set our expectations low, and then that way we can't be disappointed, you know?
Perfect.
That's my theory. But hi, everyone. We are back. Thank you for dealing with us last week. Last week, we just had, first of all, the horrors are always real. Second of all, literally the horror of driving from Virginia here. I had full intentions, y'all. This is my dedication, okay? I packed. I'm a notorious overpacker. Please do not ask me how I'm taking only a carry-on and a personal item to Sweden, but I'm going to make it work.
We're making it work.
I packed all this stuff for Virginia for this wedding I was attending. We're driving in a car, so like I'm throwing crap all over the place. And I was determined to bring with me my copy of What Happened to Goodbye. I'm holding it up like you all can see. You can't, but Michael-Ann can. And we get in the car, and I'm like, shit. I did not pack my copy of What Happened to Goodbye, and I was going to read it because we were driving back on Monday, and we would be recording. So I'm like, all right, no biggie. I'll buy it on Kindle if I have to. I'm getting these goddamn chapters read so we can record on Monday when I return. I look and I'm like, maybe. And I just wanted to be clear, Sarah, our dear friend, if you're listening, obviously I have a copy of this book. I have purchased this book. I have spent a lot of money, okay, and time and dedication to you, okay? But I was like, I already want a copy of this. I will buy Kindle if I have to. But let me just see if by some chance there is a free version of this that I can find on the internet. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a full PDF version of this book that you can find. And so that, there I am in the passenger seat, an eclipse is going on somewhere, I don't know, not anywhere where I am, driving on I-95, let me tell you. No. And I'm reading this on a PDF, okay, because I'm committed to doing this. Then we don't even end up recording because, like, the hours are ticking by and I'm like, shit, I'm going to be getting home later than I thought and I'm so tired and I cannot do this. But I just want everyone to know I read a PDF file of this book for y'all, okay? So my notes are not great because I got home and I tried to, like, chapter 15 I read here. Like, because once I realized, like, this isn't going to happen, I gave up and reading in the car in a PDF file. But so I have some notes on that. But chapter 14, I'm going on a wing and a prayer because I read it on a PDF file.
Well,
bear with me, everyone. I don't know. No, I remember it mostly, I think.
Well, I just read it. I'm fresh. So
right. you're gonna have to lead the way for us.
We're good. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So yes, we are talking about chapter 15. Nope. Chapter 14 and chapter 15, we're doing two chapters.
Yes.
Somebody commented on our Instagram and said, thank you for doing two chapters. So I guess people are not loving the one chapter a week.
Some chapters are really long, y'all, and you know how much we chat. I think at the end of every Desin, they get shorter, and it makes sense for me to do a couple. But, like, most of these chapters were over 20 pages. That's a lot to cover. You know what I mean?
And we talk a lot.
We can't help but that we're two gabby girls.
I can't be editing 4 hours of episodes every week, guys. I have a full-time job.
Yeah. If Dr. Pepper would just sponsor us, we would give you the whole book in one sitting. We wouldn't. We certainly would not. But we would give you a lot more of it.
Seriously, Dr. Pepper, sponsor us. Penguin, sponsor us. Whoever. Sure. I'll take whoever. Take whoever.
You know, I could have just bought the Kindle version and not had to read it on the PDF. If we could just get a sponsor.
Just get a sponsor. Maybe someday. It is the dream.
Maybe someday.
So, recap.
Yes, please.
Last we left off, in a pretty tumultuous point. Dave had just asked McLean out.
Yeah.
To be his girlfriend or to go on a date, which is so cute. But the cuteness was kind of overshadowed because the dad got a job offer in Hawaii. The realization that they're not going to be in Lakeview forever is setting in. And then on top of all of that stress, her friends found her like five Yumi pages with all of her different personalities that she's had. So our girl is overwhelmed. She is stressed. She is just not feeling good. And so what is she doing? She's jumping in the car and she's going to the beach with her mom, which we'll see how that's going to go now.
May the force be with her on that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So chapter 14, they're in the car. Mom is like constantly asking to make sure if she's okay. Of course, it's a giant car with a bunch of different controls and like it's huge. She says Peter's SUV, one of the biggest I'd ever seen, wasn't a car as much as a living space with wheels. Which I just have to give a shout out to my sister who does not listen to this podcast, but my sister has a Suburban and it's insane. I'm like, how do you even drive this? How do you park this?
This is like a whole ass bus.
It's insane. But anyway, when I read that, I was like, oh my God.
But truly, people that, because like obviously like, well, minivans, or we discussed our love for minivans the other week and how like that's what the cool thing to have was an old minivan. But I feel like minivans have almost gone the way of the dodo. Like they're almost extinct now. Like they still exist, but like not as many like car companies are making them anymore because SUVs took over, right? And these SUVs, like if you want to fit your family of four in an SUV, it has to basically be the size of a small bus. And it astounds me that people can drive them, reverse them, park them. Like I can barely park my Honda Civic, y'all, and people are parking freaking Suburbans. Can't relate.
It's crazy when she drives that thing around. Getting in that thing, I'm like, you have so much room. You can just, you have so much room, and it has Wi-Fi. So at one point when I was visiting with my old job, I had to get on my laptop and do something. And I was at a baseball game, and I was like, oh no. And she was like, oh, my car has Wi-Fi. Here's the keys.
I'm like, you're like, what? Game changer? Shit. That's amazing.
I'm like, okay, well, that's something.
It's fancy. Very fancy.
But anyway, first tangent gone.
And this is why we do one chapter at a time, y'all, or two chapters if they're short.
Exactly. So she's in the car. She's upset. And she's kind of, she kind of flashes back here to when she got back to her house after she ran out of Luna Blue. Her mom was there distributing juice boxes to the twins. And she just was like, okay, I'm just going to get in this car and we're just going to go and it's just going to be fine. So she's like, McLean, thank you for coming. Like, her mom's obviously very appreciative that she's there. But McLean keeps getting phone calls. They're coming from her dad, Riley, Deb. And she eventually shuts her phone off completely because she's like, I can't deal with this anymore. I also love how their car has a built-in cooler packed with refreshments.
Yeah, like, fancy.
They have a lot of money.
They're paying him some good money. College basketball coaches make a lot of money, so.
I should make Andrew become really good at baseball all of a sudden. Baseball, basketball, and then
then he can just coach. I mean, really any sport. If you're a coach of any sport, you can make a pretty penny. So if you want to be a millionaire, it's a way to do it.
I do. I do.
The thing is, I really, really do.
Or at least like a thousands, a hundred, 200,000
there. Yeah, if I had like half a million, I'd be like, yeah. Come up with it.
Seriously.
Call me now.
$200,000, I'd be like, I'm rolling in dough right now. I have too much money. But no, that's not how the economy works.
Sadly, just not the way our life has panned out thus far. But you know what? There's still hope. There's still time.
There's still time. I also want to mention that in the car, the twins start screaming and they have to put on Elmo doing covers of Beatles songs. She says, a torture that was a first to me. And that sounds like absolute torture. Mm-hmm. Absolute torture. Baby Beluga or nothing.
Baby Beluga or bust. Yeah, I was like, Elmo doing Beatles covers. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Elmo too? Like, oh God. Oh God. So she feeds her little siblings some fish, not real fish. What are they like called? Goldfish. I'm like, what the fuck are these fish-shaped crackers called?
Oh, these little fishies? What are them fishies called?
She's just like gutting and descaling a fish and handing it to these children. You're
like, this car really does have everything. It has a whole like fresh market in it. Fish market? It's like the market in Seattle, you know, where they're like throwing the fish or whatever. People come to watch it, just like taking a bath. And
oh God, we're goofy as always. So they get to Colby, they pull up to the house, and it's literally massive. It's technically 5 stories, we find out. So they get out of the car. Babies are upset. Babies are babies, you know what I mean? They're babies.
Yeah, 100%.
She helps her inside. They go inside. The kitchen obviously is insane. The entire freaking house is insane. Like, it's just huge. It's on the water. It's got all these windows so you can see the ocean. It's like Heidi's house on steroids. Mm-hmm. So then Peter calls. They're about to unpack a bit and then go up to the last chance. Boo, 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 boo. And I thought this was kind of nice. Like, she's like, Peter says hello. We don't usually spend nights apart if we can help it. I keep telling him that most couples travel separately all the time, but he still worries. And she says, worries about what? And she said, oh, any and everything. He just likes it better when we're all together. That is so relatable. Me and Bethany are going to fucking Sweden, guys. Yeah. Sweden.
Whole ass foreign country.
And I regularly cry because Andrew's not going.
I forget. I like how she had to whisper that. She's like, I don't want him to worry. I don't want him to hear.
He's right next to me. So, but I'm like, but like literally, I'm like, I cry. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be so far away from you for like a week. And it's pathetic. But I like this. And I like this especially for her.
Actually, like making me like Peter a little bit more.
I feel yes. Like. It's like because I think a lot of the reason why she left McLean's dad is because he was never around because, you know, and that's obviously something she wanted was like a family together all the time. And now she has it. So it is kind of nice to see that. Plus, she has a shit ton of money. She has so much money. She'll never have to worry about anything ever again.
Yeah. Also, though, and this is where the pessimist in me, well, actually, I'm a very optimistic person, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not a pessimist. But this is where the realist in me kicks in. I'm like, the twins are toddlers right now. Like, again, this actually really made me respect Peter. I thought it was very sweet of him, and he actually is caring. And again, like, this is good for her because, yeah, like you were saying, like, that's 100% why her and her dad didn't work out, right? It's because, like, he was married to the restaurant. But right now, I'm like, okay, yeah. So, like, he has college basketball games, you know, here, there, everywhere. She can pick up. Her and the kids can go. Like, they're toddlers. But I was like, when the kids are in school, what are you going to do? You're going to get a tutor? Are they going to be private school? Like, my mind, I went down this whole thing. And that is not what Sarah Dessen intended. She just wanted us to be like, oh, look, Peter is a good guy. Like, that is the intentions of this bit. But me over here, I was just like, my sister and brother-in-law work in athletics, and let me tell you, it's a lot of travel. And when the kids are in school, I just like went down a whole rabbit hole, and I was like, nope, nope, stay on track.
What are they gonna do when the kids are in school?
The kids are in school, or again, unless you're like we're homeschooling them, and then we'll just like have a tutor, and we'll just. But like that's not normal. Like the kids aren't gonna socialize, and like, you know what I mean? Right. Like put your kids in school is what I'm saying. No offense to anyone out there who's been homeschooled. But also put your kids in school. I don't care what kind of school. I don't care if it's private school. I don't care if it's public school. But like, put your kids in school. It's good for them. Let them socialize a little bit. But
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just like, again, I'd like to think, I feel like most coaches' kids are in like fancy private schools. But again, I don't feel like either you're going to have to be comfortable leaving your kids if she wants to travel with him, or someone's going to have to stay back with the kids. You know what I mean? So it's just like, this isn't going to last forever, Peter. Like, y'all are going to have to figure that out. Hashtag just saying.
Aw. That's kind of, see, it's another reason. Added to the list of reasons why I'm not having children. Thank you. Actually, this whole chapter, Elmo, Beatles covers by Elmo, put that on the list as well.
That's what sent me over the edge.
But yeah, so she's just kind of like running around. Mom wants to unload the car, so McLean offers to watch the babies. They go down to the beach, which I was like, wow, that's brave, going down to the beach at night with two toddlers. Amazing. Yeah. The kids are like, it's cold. Maddie won't let her put her down. She's like burrowing into her shoulder, like vice grip on her, which is kind of cute. Little sister moment.
Sister bonding.
So McLean's kind of looking around. She's like, oh wow, she won't need a telescope here because the stars are close enough to touch and she wouldn't have to look very hard to find one. So she's kind of seeing again like all these differences. She's like, oh, the little telescope in our little hotel room in our little car. And now she's like, oh, okay. And she says she'd never want for anything. And even though I knew that for her and even Connor and Maddie, this was a good thing, it made me sad in a way I wasn't sure I even understood. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like because those moments where they had not a lot, they were able to like bond and be together.
Yeah.
But I'm such a 32-year-old millennial that I'm like, please. Let me want for nothing, for the love of God.
I want a soft
life. I'm exhausted.
I'm so tired.
Exhausted. The strain of this economy.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. I bought a bag of grapes the other day. It was $7.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous.
For grapes.
I think it's easy for a teenager to like, wax nostalgic about that stuff, and it's like I'm not saying that your hardships didn't create like good memories. I'm not saying that you can't make the best out of any situation, but like, let me tell you, your mom and dad don't look at those times the same. I think her mom very much is like looks back at it fondly, but I think she's also like, it's really nice to be married to Peter and not have to worry about anything.
And not have to work and not have, yeah, like, yeah, ugh. Like
life is great. Yeah, you all can always all be together as a family because, like, you have a soft life, man. Like, you don't have to work anymore. Like, that's good for you.
So then McLean's mom calls them back in the house so that they can go eat at Last Chance, which they keep referring to as a local diner.
But we all know.
We all know.
We all know. We all know. And then she's like, the boutique that my friend. I still don't understand how her and Heidi are friends. Apparently, it is a newer friendship, I think, since she has. But, like,
you know? It sounds like their kids are the same age. So.
Ooh, true, because this, yeah. Mm,
that so, could be. They probably met, like, doing something kid related in Colby. Yeah. What did.
And Heidi is very, like, involved in Colby, like, she has the back to school or whatever it is, beach bash, blah blah blah, so like I'm sure when you're a rich white lady, like, you would go to things like that, like, you're definitely, you know, like, they're all like hanging out because they're like involved with the community and stuff, because that's what rich people do.
Exactly
They have the time and the resources to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
This is when the local diner. They're trying to go to Clementine's, but winter hours. They closed at 5, so they're not open. She cannot get a swimsuit. And our girl McLean's not that concerned, but mom seems like a little bit more concerned. This is where we found out that the house has an elevator, which is pretty
Of fucking course it does.
Of course it does. We're like, that's fantastic. And then she, like, gets her room, essentially, and she's like, oh, my God, this room is, like, crazy amazing. The bed is huge. It's crazy. And she's like, are you sure? And her mom's like, they're all this, like, extravagant. So, by all means. And so she's saying, you know, she put them, the twins, down at the other end. So, you know, they get, they won't bother her or anything. You know, she's like, you keep saying that you're tired and stuff, so we'll make sure that you get some rest. Obviously, it is, you know, her spring break, so I'm gonna give mom that. She's considerate in that regard. So she was just saying, like, you know, how exhausting it is that they're, like, you know, as toddlers, like, take care of them and stuff. And she's, but of course, obviously now she's a teenager, she certainly realizes that, what's that saying, the nights are long but the years are short but the nights are long, or something like that, the days are long, I don't know, whatever that parenting old saying is. Something like that. I'm totally butchering it, everyone, I'm sorry, but
that sounds right.
You know, she has some kind of perspective, and is, you know, she's like, they're only little ones, so, and it goes so fast, so, like, I'm gonna soak it in even though it's very exhausting. And she's like, especially because I feel like I miss so much with you, because I didn't have a soft life then and I actually had to work for a living. And so she's like, no, like, I feel like you're around all the time. Like, you know, it was always dad who was, like, you know, married to the restaurant, essentially. And she's like, oh, I suppose. And then she, you know, gets the twins, like, ready for bath time and for bed and stuff. But yeah, so you can tell mom has some regrets. And it's just interesting the way that, like, she views it and the way that McLean views it. Like, McLean, like, everything that she said is, like, her mom back in the day was, like, she made sure she got home for dinner. They went on girls' trips. Like, her mom was always there. And in her mom's mind, she feels like she wasn't there enough. And that's just kind of sort of interesting, the way that they both see that.
Yeah. I also think it's so cute that Maddie said, McLean corn.
Yeah.
And she's like, what did she just say? And she's like, McLean come. It's like, oh,
that's cute. I love that face. She's attached herself to her sister. That's so cute.
It's very cute.
Adorable.
So she gets left alone for a few minutes. Well, way longer than a few minutes. She goes downstairs. She putzes around. She turns on her phone. She has 3 messages. First one, dad. He's mad. He's like, call me. Not a question. It was a demand. Deb calls. Of course, she's like, I'm really sorry. I love you. She's like, basically, she's like, I'll be around.
You're my only friend. Please be my friend. Please. You're the one I have.
And then Riley's like, this was kind of intense. Deb's a nervous wreck. Maybe call her. Hope you're doing okay. Like, yeah, kind of intense is exactly what it was. And then she goes down to the garage, and what does she find? Her car, super shitty.
Oh, super shitty.
I love it. I love that they kept that car, even though they didn't, like, need to at all.
Yes. And apparently a bunch of her other stuff, she says it's kind of like Dave's mm-hmm. garage, where there's, like, all these bins, and she has, like, a distant memory of her mom stating that they are storing some things out here. She looks, and, like, a lot of them seem to be her stuff. Like, there's some tubs that are labeled with her name on it. She sees that there's, like, old clothes, her old life in Tyler. And she's like, oh, here's some stuff from when I was, which is very interesting that her stuff, like, I, in my mind, and I know she said, like, she's a minimalist, but, like, in my mind, every time they moved, I thought they, like, donated their stuff to Goodwill. I wasn't aware that, like, since she moved out of living with her mom, like, living out of, like, the family house that they lived in Tyler, that, like, she's been sending things from her, like, new life to her mom's house, apparently. I was like, oh, this is her stuff when she's this sweet. This is her stuff when she's this. So that was kind of interesting to me. I was like, oh, just in my mind. I don't know what I thought they did with the stuff when they moved out of these houses, but I wasn't thinking she was sending it back to her mom. But clearly her mom does have enough space for it. So she's just kind of like going through a little memory lane of all the different things that she has been. She says, like, the second box, there's, like, novels and notebooks, and there's old yearbooks. She says there's one from Westcott High School. I got slightly triggered because it says here embossed across the cover. And I was like, the amount of times we talked about embossing things when I was in yearbook. And I was like, ah, yearbook PTSD. Oh, I'm sorry. I just hit the mic, everyone. That's what PTSD was having.
It's very alarming.
Just kidding. I loved my yearbook class. But I was like, oh, embossed. It's like I'm back at senior of high school and we're stressing out about getting the yearbook out on time. So that really threw me for a little trip down memory lane myself. She says the last box was so light it almost felt like it was empty, and she realizes it's the quilt that her mom made her for, like, when she, like, moved out. And she was like, I brought this with me, I must have, like, sent it back to her, which, like, ooh, that probably hurt mom a little bit when, like, you moved and you sent back the, like, brand new quilt she made you to basically, like, remember her by. That's a little rough.
that was really rough. She goes back upstairs, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes back upstairs. Mom is still busy with the twins, so she's still, like, kind of just roaming. She decides she wants to look at the Yumi pages because she doesn't remember what they are or what's on them or, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then who shows up? Our girl, Heidi.
Yeah! Heidi, I love you! My queen.
With fucking Thisbe.
Calling her Thisbe too, I almost wanted her to, like, be like, this is my daughter Caroline, and be like, yes, Heidi won in the end. Or, like, yes. Even she called her Isbe or something, but she's like, this is, you know, with Thisbe, and it's like,
I know, I was like, oh, you're okay,
I guess. I guess
So Heidi comes over, she brought her, like, a billion bathing suits. She's like, if you hate them all, we have tons more at the store. Oh my god. I just choked on my own spit.
I was like, did you swallow a fly?
Oh my god, no. Oh my god. Oh my god.
But did you recently? Because I feel like there's a story here.
Y'all. Like
one long hair here.
I'm terrified of spiders. Like, it's an actual phobia. And yesterday, I was in my house and I saw a little spider. And I was like, oh my god. No. I was like, Andrew, can you please safely put this spider back outside?
But he wanted to know. You're so much nicer than I am. I'm like, kill it now.
It was, like, on the door frame. So I was like, well, it's already halfway there.
That's fine.
So I was like, can you put it outside? But then we had to figure out what kind of spider it was. And it was a fucking black widow in my
house.
Yes.
Killed it then, because, like, what if it?
Where, he did kill it.
Did he put it? Okay, because I was like, did he put it, like, very, very far away from your house? Because I don't want to go back to your house and, like, oh.
Yeah, that's he so killed. Freaky. He killed it, and I was like, oh my god! Like, I was disturbed and, like, I couldn't focus for an entire several hours.
Yeah.
But it was just a baby, and I don't know if Andrew's lying to me to make me feel better, but apparently they don't travel in packs, so.
Hopefully. I don't feel like they're known to do that, as far as I know.
And also, if they are known to do that, and Andrew was lying to me making me feel better, let me live that lie.
Yeah.
Do not message me.
Please don't correct him. Please don't correct him.
Don't message me about this.
99.9% certain that that is correct intel. But yeah. Freaking hate spiders. I hate pretty much all bugs, insects, anything.
Me too. Me too. Not a big bug guy.
No. Mm-mm, not at all. Which is a real shame when you live in the Southeast, let me tell you, because they are always trying to get you. They're out there. They're
everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're
fucking everywhere.
And no matter what you do, they're gonna get inside somehow. They just do.
Oops.
And be like that.
I just went to go pet Zuko and he moved and I stuck my finger right in his eyeball.
Luna just came barreling in and all the doggies decided they wanted to visit at once. Hi, Luna.
They're like, hello.
She was like very excited. That was funny. Right. Where were we? Right. Heidi. So Heidi, our girl Heidi, has come over with all the things. I love when she says, she's like, I can't stand the idea of anyone being in the vicinity of a heated pool and hot tub with no bathing suit. It just goes against everything we believe in. And it's like, yeah, Heidi, I agree with those principles. Amen.
I love that.
I don't think I'm going to be spending nearly enough time in the hotel this weekend in Orlando to use their heated pool. And yet I was like, I should pack a swimsuit just in case. Just in case. Just like in we case. Take a little dip in the pool. Like, you just have to, you know? So I'm with her. I get it. So, this is when we found out there's going to be, like, this party, apparently. She's like, party tomorrow. And our girl McLean is like, well, I don't know anything about a party. We're having a party at this house. And it's like, yes, McLean, that's what rich people do.
That's what rich people do. They do. They have parties.
They just have parties for, like, no apparent reason. So she's kind of, like, stressing in her mind about that. She's like, I don't know about no party. And so she's just like, oh, hey, like, yeah, just, you know, she kind of backs away. And they're, like, having their little moment because, you know, they haven't seen each other in ages. And this is where McLean realizes that, you know, her mom and her were kind of a lot alike. Like she was saying, you know, just I scanned all my alter egos. I realized my mom had one now, too. Katie Sweet was gone, but Catherine Hamilton was a queen in a palace by the sea with new friends and new paint on the walls and new life. The only thing out of place were that car covered up and buried deep and me. Oh, McLean, no. That's not a way to think of yourself.
She is just feeling so, like, lonely and isolated, and, like, she has no one. And McLean, you do fit McLean, in there.
You do. And this is where she finally has to have a little bit of a talk with her dad. He calls, and he's all like, young lady.
Yes. He puts, like, his foot down.
Dad is putting, Gus is, this is the most stern I've seen him be. He's like, you don't walk away from me like that. You answer when I call you. Do you know how worried I've been? And she's all like, I'm fine. And she says she's, like, almost, like, irritated with him, which of course is like, ooh, how the turntables, you know, like, usually it's her mom calling her, bothering her. But now, like, it's her dad that she's irritated with. And she's like, you know, I'm with mom. Like, gosh. And he's like, I know that you and I had things to discuss and I wanted them discussed before you left. And she's like, what's to discuss? Like, we're moving to Hawaii. And so he's like, I have a job offer there. Yes, but that doesn't mean that A, I'm moving, or B, you have to. And she's like, well, what are my options? Like, moving there and moving to Tyler? Like, I'm not moving back to Tyler. Like, you know, I'm not doing that. And so basically he's like, you know, like, this is not a good time to talk about in the middle of the dinner rush. And she's like, you called me. Which I was like, fair point, McLean, he did. So he's like, okay, fine, like, we'll discuss this, you know, I'm gonna call you first thing tomorrow, no decisions until then. Like, clearly they're both still kind of heated about things. And so she's like, yep, sure, no decisions. So she walks back upstairs. Mom and Heidi are still, like, having a little moment. And this is where we catch, you know, obviously they're mid conversation and mom says, to be honest, I didn't really think it through. And with Peter not here, it's not much more complicated. I think it was too much to take on, even though I thought it was what I really wanted to do, which I have a feeling she might be talking about the party because again, yes. Usually, like, they are a team and now she has two toddlers and a kind of sulky teenager and it's going to be a lot to do at this party. And so Heidi's all like, you'll be fine. The house is finished. You survived the trip. Now I have to just sit back and try to relax. And she's like, easier said than done. It's always been a lot of fun in the past. We've only been here a couple of hours, and I'm already, I don't know, not feeling good about the whole thing. Which I also think it's like, to her, again, both her and her mom have these very happy memories of them going to the beach. And I think it's finally clicking for mom, which it really should have clicked sooner. But it's finally clicking for her, like, oh, I have a whole new life now. And this is not the beach trip that McLean is used to. And I just thought, ooh, I miss my daughter. Oh, we're going to the beach. And now she's kind of thinking, shit. Should I have done this? Should I have brought her to the beach for the first time in our new fancy house with my two toddlers and a party going on tomorrow and a this, that, and the other thing? And it's going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, like, this might not go well. And, of course, McLean overhears this and thinks, like, oh, because, again, she's already has doubt in her mind that, like, everything fits here but me. So she's thinking, like, oh, like, my mom thinks the same, like she thinks that I don't belong here. And it's like, no, she's stressed out about hosting this party without Peter, and it's finally, she's finally having the realization that she should have had forever ago, that like, you should not have to fit into her life, she should bend to fit into your life, because that's what the parent does. And right. Yeah, she's kind of, it seems like she's coming to that realization, and McLean of course is hearing it and not realizing like that's what she's, the realization that she's coming to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely not saying it was a mistake to hang out with her daughter for the weekend, yeah. But that is definitely how she's taking it. Mm-hmm. Poor McLean. She's just feeling like so low, just like bottomed out. Yeah. Like me last week.
You're like, can relate. Can you imagine, like, again, like, obviously that was, like, later in the week, but if we would have been discussing, like, this chapter, like, well, then,
I know.
You'd be like, oh, God, I'd be like, are you okay? it would not have been good. So, see, again, I'm a big believer. I texted Michael Ann this, but I'm a big believer in what I like to call Simone Biles days, which is when I'm feeling kind of, like, crap for, like, taking time for my mental health, and then I remember that, like, badass Olympic gold medalist, champion of the freaking world, Simone Biles, put her mental health first, and I go, no. If Simone Biles can do it, and that's, like, such a strong, brave, badass thing to do is to take time for your mental health, then I'm going to do it, too. So that is what I have to call it. So I'm a strong believer in Simone Biles days. I think everyone should take them. Mental health is health, and it is important. Okay, thank you. Gets off soapbox, but just for anyone out there who's ever feeling like, no, I should just soldier through, and it's really not that bad. And it's like, no, like, take your time. Everyone no. Needs their time.
Take care of yourself. Yes, she's like, she hears this conversation. She assumes it's about her. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, there's always been one constant. My mom wanted me with her, for better or for worse. I never doubted that for a second. But what if I had been wrong? What if this new life was just that, brand new, like the gorgeous house, like this gorgeous house, and she wanted to keep it fresh, no baggage. Katie Sweet had to deal with a moody, distant firstborn, but Catherine Hamilton didn't. And that is, like, obviously not what mom is thinking. Right. Oh, my goodness gracious. But I feel so bad for McLean in this moment. It's just, being a teenage girl is hard in general.
Yeah.
And then just dealing with all of this, it's like, oh, man. I just feel so sad. So she goes downstairs, or she goes down several flights of stairs and gets in her car. There's a spare key in there. She puts her, those, I almost said Tupperwares, those tubs with her stuff in it in the car. And she leaves. She's like, I'm just leaving. She's like, the street was dark, no cars in sight as I pulled out into the road. I had no idea where I was, but I knew how to get where I was going. I put on my blinker and turned right towards North Redomain. Aw, poor girl.
Yeah. Is this the healthiest way to deal with things? No. But I can understand with so much instability in her life right now, like her just wanting like something that's like comforting and familiar. So it makes perfect sense that she would do this. But I'm just like, no, McLean, like don't do that. Like, communication. Go talk to your mom. And you would realize like that's so not the case. But yeah, I get it. She's going through it. Okay. Chapter 15. The hits just keep on coming. Here we go. More sad stuff for our poor girl.
Poor girl. So where does she go? The Poseidon.
Of course.
She gets in there. She is down bad, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And she is this Gertz? Their 24-hour Gertz? Is that where Along for the Ride?
They're like gas station.
Auden. Bomber? No, Auden. Remember Auden was going to like a different 24-hour diner and it was like bad and they had small cups of coffee.
Yeah. It might be.
Cece?
Cece? Just kidding. She's...
Are you still here?
Still here?
Cece, are you still here?
Cece, you're still here. Tell us. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not positive now.
We need to just start keeping our own
data. We need to keep better track of this crap. Damn it. We got to keep our own spreadsheet now. I'm going to... Yes. God, where's Katie? Katie would do this for us.
Ugh. Katie would kill it, too.
Katie would kill it. God, she's such a deb, she'd kill it. We're going to hire whenever Dr. Pepper sponsors us to keep our spreadsheets. Yes. But yes, there she is at the old Poseidon, same as she remembered. She thought that the manager might ask her questions because, of course, she is a teenager who probably shouldn't even be allowed to check into a hotel room by herself. But I have a feeling that a place like the Poseidon doesn't really care about that kind of stuff. And they don't. She gives her pays for her room in cash. She lets her know where the drink machine is. And she heads on down with her boxes to room 811. And when she gets inside, she says, I sat down on the bed for a few minutes, looking around me, the surf pounding loudly just outside. Then I started to cry. Oh. It was all just such a mess. Moving, running, changing. I couldn't keep it all straight anymore and didn't want to. I felt so, 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 so tired. Tired enough to crawl under that old bedspread and sleep for days. No one knew where I was, not a soul. And while I thought this was what I wanted, I realized in the quiet of that room that it was the scariest thing of all. And it's like, yeah, don't like be alone when you're sad. It's not going to make you feel better. Let me tell you. So she realizes like she doesn't know who would be like her 2 a.m. Like all these different people that she knows, all these different people that she's been like, who could she call at this time, you know, to basically help her not feel alone in this moment. She thinks about Riley and Deb, which like honestly, if you picked up and called Deb, she'd be there.
She'd be there.
So we are clear. But then she thinks of the one person that she remembers the whole, but what about warts and all? And she thinks about Dave. And so she says, I knew my faults were many, my secrets even more, but I didn't want to be alone, not at 2 a.m. and not now. And so she dials up our boy, Dave, and this part is so sweet.
It's so sweet.
Like, it's so sweet. Yeah, she answers and she says, yes, is the first thing she says after his hello. And he's like, McLean, is that you? And she said, yeah. And the answer is yes. And he's like, the answer? He said slowly, you asked me to go out with you. I know you probably changed your mind, but you should know the answer is yes. It's always been yes when it comes to you.
Young love, y'all.
I was like, oh my god, that's the sweetest line, and I just love them.
That was really sweet. And when she's feeling like so raw and vulnerable, and then immediately he's like, I'll be right there.
Yeah, where are you? And it's like, oh my god, why are they just the sweetest?
They're the sweetest.
So then she, after that like sad, vulnerable, but absolutely sweetest moment, she, so he's all like, you know, that everything was going to be all right. He told me he'd be there soon. She hangs up. She's like, okay, I'm like a hot crying mess. Like, cute boy is about to come see me. Like, gotta straighten my shit out. So she goes to the bathroom to be like, okay, I need to compose myself a little bit. And then now she's just kind of like determined to stay awake because, again, like as we've all been there, you have like an emotional spiral and it really is just like the most draining thing and you are just so tired. And she's had a really long day. So she kind of just starts going through all of her stuff. She's looking at like loose pictures. She's looking at the yearbooks and the notebooks. And she sees a photo of her, one that's framed from, you know, her mom and Peter's wedding. It's just like all these different basically memories, and you know, here's like one from when her parents were still together, here's one when she's, you know, Lisbeth and Eliza and Beth, She says that she looks at the notebooks, and then she ends up picking up the complimentary hotel pen. Gotta love it. And just starts to write. And she kind of just starts writing, like, what's been going on with her the last few years. Like, who she is in every town. So she kind of goes through and writes down, like I said, kind of just, like, who she was in every place. And, you know, she explains that in Lakeview she was trying to be list sweet, but then that didn't really work. The last time she remembers looking at the clock, it was 2:15, and she ends up falling asleep. The next thing she knows, she's waking up to knocking at her door, but it's not who she's expecting when she answers the door. It is not Dave, but in fact, her parents together, which is a big deal. Obviously, both of them are relieved to see her. There you are, they say. And she's like I'd been lost and now found, which, both literally and figuratively, that is true.
For sure.
She says, you know, her mom opens her mouth to say something else, and my dad was suddenly talking to, but for me, it was just too much in that moment to even hear what came next. I just stepped forward, and then their arms were around me. I was crying as my mom held me, and my dad led us into the room, into the bed, easing the door shut behind us. My mom pushed aside those pictures, my dad the notebooks, as I lay down, curling myself into her lap and closing my eyes. I was so, so tired. As she stroked my hair, I could hear them still talking, voices low. A moment later, there was another sound too, distant but as recognizable as the waves outside, that of pages turning one after another, a story finally being told. Which also, I'm like, yeah, maybe the two of you should, maybe it shouldn't take your daughter running away to freaking the Poseidon at North Redmond for the two of you to talk like civilized adults. Maybe we should have done this sooner. Maybe we shouldn't get lawyers involved every time and just like actually give a damn about our daughter. Gus, you know I overall like you, but mom, that was mostly directed at you, mom, but also Gus, you are to blame. You are at fault in this as well.
And I think they both just got so caught up in what the divorce meant for them.
Yes, that they forgot their whole human that they made.
Which is like a very like, I think it's like a very like human thing to do, to be like, oh my God, I've been so selfish. Because sometimes you just don't realize, but now they should have probably realized a little bit sooner.
This was like,
it's been a few years.
And this ending is definitely like, I wanted to read the next chapter right away. But the next chapter is very long. So I was like, no, we're going to save that. We are actually going to save that. And that way I'll have a good fresh memory of it when we record. But like, part of me is like, yes, finally, catharsis. And like, she, her parents are finally like, we're on the cusp of something. This is good stuff. Here's my one question. And again, I have very little recollection of this book. I read it one time a long time ago. Again, I only read it once, not because anything against it. It's just like, it's a busy time in my life. And I just didn't revisit it until we recorded this podcast. I know, obviously, this is your first time ever reading it. I'm curious, when she called Dave, if he contacted, because I've got to assume her dad asked him because he knows that they're close, like, and mom probably freaked out calling like, hey, do you know what's going on? And he probably was like, hey, you know, if you heard from her, if you hear from her, let me know. And I think Dave is the type of stand-up gentleman who would reach out to her dad. Again, he knows that like he's a good person. And again, I think the conversation while Dave coming would have been very nice. And helpful, the conversation and the people she needed to talk to were her parents. So I'm very happy that they're the ones that came and found her. But yeah, I don't know if that gets answered. I don't know if like in the next chapter, Dave's like, yeah, sorry, I had to call your dad. Like I had to let him know. Or if it like he shows up in 2 minutes. But in my mind, as of right now, again, my recollection being real spotty of this, I think it's that he probably contacted her dad and was like, actually, I do know where she is now.
Or yeah, maybe, he probably like
what mom. I don't know.
What I'm imagining is like he went straight to her dad. Yeah, like, that, hey.
That's what I imagine too. And I have to imagine that her dad, if he wasn't already en route to Colby or like to her mom's, like where he like called him up, immediately went there. Or yeah, I don't know. But I like to think that the parents decided that they needed to be a unit on this, and he wasn't like, yeah, you're closer, go over, I'll be there soon. I think it was like, we need to game plan this. We need to be there together. We need to go find her. We need her to know that, yes, we have kind of forgotten you in this, and we are sorry, but we are ready to hear you out now. So good on everyone, you know? Again, I'm hoping. I'm very excited to see where this conversation leads this family. I just want our girl to be okay. You know, y'all, she's going through it. I want her to be okay. I want our girl Deb to be okay. Deb is an anxious wreck somewhere. You know.
It. Somebody make Deb feel better.
Someone make Deb feel better. She deserves it. The answer is always yes, but it's you. It's always so been good. Yes. Stop. Adorable. Y'all are cute.
Too cute.
So,
young love. Thursday, we'll be doing Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. So join us for that.
Please. I'm excited.
And then I'm pretty sure what's going to end up happening is Tuesday will be a Chaos Tuesday so that we can talk about the Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, if we're being real, we will not be able to wait until next Thursday, everyone. I'm so sorry.
No. So that's an emergency switch.
Yeah, emergency switch. Emergency Tortured Poets Department meeting.
Yes.
On Tuesday. And then Thursday, we will hit up at least chapter 16. We might be able to do. I don't know. We'll be here discussing what happened to Goodbye next Thursday. Okay. To be determined what chapters.
Exactly. We'll let you know. Well, take care, everyone.
Yeah.
Have a great TTPD week.
Yeah. Happy TTPD week to all those who celebrate. And everyone, communication is key. If you're going through a hard time, please don't do it alone. Okay. Don't go get a room with the Poseidon, all right? Okay. Yes. Love to everyone. Bye.